from a series of White House concerts that captured the imagination of the nation. More information is at music.unt.edu.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Today, the Black Experience on Film. A filmmaker and professor at UT Arlington tells why 12 Years a Slave stands out in a trend of historical narratives. But first, more than a million uninsured Texans are in healthcare limbo, even with Obamacare. The state has refused to expand Medicaid. Lauren Silverman reports that means many low-income people won't get either Medicaid or health insurance subsidies.
After a decade of working with the same company, Sheila Anderson was laid off in 2012. As painful as it was to lose her job, she was excited to go back to school and finally get her nursing degree.
I've done so many different things in the medical industry, except for a nurse and a doctor. Seems like, because I've done the billing, I've done front office, back office, I've done lab, I've done a little bit of everything.
The classes Anderson's taking at Tarrant County College aren't the challenge. It's living without health insurance. That's because she falls into the so-called healthcare donut hole. See, Obamacare was designed to provide Medicaid for the poorest people and then offer subsidies for the healthcare marketplace above a certain income. Thing is, Texas didn't expand Medicaid. Now there's a coverage gap, and Anderson feels herself falling in.
I have a chronic medical condition as well.
It's multiple sclerosis.
It's not something that I can just snap my fingers or eat better and it'll go away. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Drugs to treat multiple sclerosis cost thousands of dollars a month, and appointments with a neurologist only add to the bill. Anderson has already sold her car and doesn't want to give up the one bedroom in Watauga she saved up for. Right now, she's relying on grants from a local nonprofit, her mom, and her faith.
It's frustrating because I want to do the right thing. You know, I'm trying to do the right thing. But it's like I'm hanging on by a string.
Earlier this year, Anderson went to the state capitol with Dallas Area Interfaith for a raucous rally in support of Medicaid expansion. Willie Bennett is lead organizer for Dallas Area Interfaith. He still can't believe Governor Rick Perry would refuse to take $100 billion federal dollars over the next 10 years to cover most of the costs of expansion.
These are people, folks with families, who are totally left out.
Arlene Wolgamuth, executive director of Texas Public Policy Foundation, says the offer from the federal government may sound generous, but accepting the money would be a mistake.
Why double down on a broken program?
Broken, she says, because it doesn't allow for innovation, is rife with fraud, and worsens the cycle of dependence.
We need to reform Medicaid rather than expanding it.
Medicaid may be imperfect, Willie Bennett says, but for people like Sheila Anderson, it's the only health coverage there is.
And what we would say, well, let's make it better. Let's not ditch it, because particularly when you have no alternative and things that we're doing are contributing to it not working and making it not be as well as it could. I mean, we could make it better, and we're all in agreement with that.
Groups like Dallas Area Interfaith are still fighting for a so-called Texas solution on Medicaid, and they're gaining support from chambers of commerce across the state. But for now, where's that leave Sheila Anderson? Charity care and the ER, at least until she can finish her nursing degree and get a job. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Director Steve McQueen's new film, 12 Years a Slave, is based on the story of a free black man who was kidnapped and sold into slavery in 1841. UT Arlington's Yaki Smith told our big screen team the film was compelling enough to make him wonder why we don't see present-day stories of the black struggle in theaters.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA, joined by Chris Fogner, movie critic for the Dallas Morning News. 12 Years a Slave stars British actor Chiwetel Ejiofor as Solomon Northup.
Days ago, I was with my family in my home. Now you tell me all is lost. Tell no one who I am. That's the way to survive. Well, I don't want to survive. I want to live.
We're joined today by Yaqui Smith, a filmmaker and film professor at UT Arlington. And Yaqui, this is kind of a tough film to watch at times.
It was. You know, I think it's the first film that I've seen that I think really, really authentically captures what it was like to be a slave in America. It was visceral. It was authentic. And I think these characters are so complex that they really, like, show you what it was like to be a slave, but also what it was like to be a slave master and an overseer and all of these things that were going on at the time. And I think what Steve McQueen did actually very brilliantly is showed the brutality, the trauma, and just how difficult it was, you know, to be a slave in this country.
Yeah, it's interesting. In my review of 12 Years a Slave, I wrote that, you know, this is by far the best movie that's been made about American slavery. And then I realized that's not really saying all that much, given what we've seen in the past out of Hollywood.
12 Years a Slave comes off the heels of some other Hollywood films that have also dealt with the Black experience. I'm thinking of The Butler, which has its roots in the civil rights area, 42, which is the Jackie Robinson story, and something like Fruitvale Station, which is a little more current. Are we at a time when Hollywood is starting to get some of these stories a little more right?
That's a very complex question, because there's a yes and a no side. I think there is sort of this resurgence. You know, Fruitvale Station is not a Hollywood film. We have to make that distinction. It is an independent film that was picked up by a Hollywood studio and then distributed. The films that Hollywood are making right now are sort of these historical dramas. They're not really making anything that's dealing with the present day plight of the African American. Those films are necessary. The historical narratives are necessary. I think The Butler, those films are necessary. 12 Years a Slave, very necessary. I think they should be showed in every school in this country. But I also think that there's room for the stories that are happening today, because the things that they're showcasing in those historical narratives directly affect the way that we are still living today. And I think it's necessary to show all sides of the story. And I think Hollywood right now is not necessarily doing that. I would hope that these films that they are distributing, that they are actually making, would cause them to look around and say, wait a minute, there's all these contemporary stories that we are not necessarily telling that we should tell, because actually they are a part of the historical narrative.
Yaqui, thanks for being with us and talking about 12 Years a Slave.
Thank you for having me.
12 Years a Slave opens tomorrow. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
And reports from the KERA Newsroom are made possible by you when you support KERA. I'm Jeff Whittington here with Jeff Ramirez. A couple of great pieces there from the KERA Newsroom. You can join KERA right now and help make this station, help make public radio here in North Texas, with a phone call to 888-694-6931 or with a contribution online at kera.org.
And it's the first day of our fall fundraising drive. Please know, you know this, your contribution this morning supports the news. You make public radio when you make a financial contribution. And during this fall fundraising drive, we know that there's no doubt at all that short drives are better than long ones. So don't put it off. Make your contribution right now. Remember, you can get into the running to win one of the four new iPad Airs that we're giving away. You make your contribution right now, you are automatically entered into every drawing. We've got one later on today at 1, mm-hmm. another one this not tonight at 7 p.m., and then the same thing tomorrow. So make your contribution right now. You'll have all those chances. You're in the running to win one of the new iPad Airs that we're giving away. KERA.org or call 888-694-6931. That's KERA.org or 888-694-6931.
And Jeff, we have a goal today of $100,000 to kick off, to jumpstart this membership campaign. We are trying to get there as fast as we can today to gain some serious ground on this fall fundraising campaign. And thanks to many of you, including Sarah Aoki in Dallas and Patsy Haynes in Cobblestone, Louisiana, and Mark Lewis in Arlington. Thanks to those folks and many others, we've raised about $42,400 so far today, this morning during Morning Edition. We are still wanting to move as fast as we can go, and your contribution will get you entered into that first iPad drawing at 1 o'clock. When we hit the $100,000 mark today, if we hit the $100,000 mark today, a generous KERA board member is going to give the station an additional $10,000, which, if you've listened to the station for any time at all, you know that goes a long way around here.
And know that this $10,000 really is offered to the station in appreciation to listeners like you who make a contribution to support the station, the news. You make public radio when you make a contribution this morning. So call 888-694-6931 or online at kera.org. Remember, you make a contribution of $10 more or a month, you can choose the NPR or the KERA t-shirt of your choosing. Thanks.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Sit for Life and Herman Miller, featuring the Aeron